cherubim shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim shine forth.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise God.
Different lights. There is the light. There is that which lightens the sun, the moon, the stars. Those lights are for seasons and for signs and for wonders. But there is a light which is the light of life. This light is the light that I give to you. For you see, without light there is no sight. And the sight of the sun is that which shines bright. It is that which brings forth understanding. It is that which brings forth a perception of the glory of God. It is that which brings forth in the hearts of men peace. I bring forth a peace that no man gives to the world. It is the light of life, the light of the sun. Now, if that son did not have to lay down his life to give us another kind of life, which is the light of the Father, we would not come into this light. So you see, you cannot tarry in the light of the stars. You cannot tarry in the light of the sun, in the glory of the moon. Because indeed, my hands created those lights to lead you to the light of life. Oh, what gain is there when you are in the things that are temporal? For the light of life is eternal, the eternal light, immortality in light. The light that cannot be shaken, the light that does not fade. Mahaista, you see that light is like unto a sardine stone. The precious stone that comes from me, the precious stones that lays the pillars of the foundation of where I dwell. For the pillars of where I dwell are the pillars of people. People that have stood and I have withstood. They have withstood the wiles of the enemy and they have become pillars before me. They have become pillars in the presence of my Father. Grow up into that calling. Become pillars. Pillars, pillars like unto a sardine stone. For you see, I send forth help. Help. They are called my hosts. The hosts. They minister for you, my own, who have been predestined before the foundations. Hosts, yes, nations. For you see, hosts come to make nations out of you. For you see, the secret behind that light, though it is one, is that it is many. It is one because it is many.
It is one and it brings forth nations. It is a light that shines everywhere because the light has become a nation, which means it has been multiplied, which means it has come to that place of salvation. I bring you a light that the hosts will minister unto you in this season. The host will minister lights unto you. The host will open your eyes, the eyes of your understanding, so you will dwell in that light. And that light will bring you into my life, the life that is incorruptible. But in this season, pay attention. In this season, let humility guard your hearts. Because hearts are being deceived by doctrines. Who will I teach wisdom? Who will I teach wisdom? He who has been weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. You cannot remain in the place of the breast, in the light of the breast, and come into my understanding. The hosts are burning with the light that purifies and sanctifies. In this season, there is abundant grace. Abundant grace. Lights differ in glory. Choose you this day which lights you will follow. Says the Spirit of the Lord.
Thank you.
Grace, it brings forth grace. The host are ministering things of grace. Grace to stay, grace to stay and to wait upon the Lord. Because in the place of waiting is the place where thirst comes. When you wait on the Lord, he fills you with a desire. That desire is called a thirst for him. The thirst for the things that are heavenly. For you see, without thirst there can be no desire. For even in the natural, if there is no thirst, you would not want that water. So in that season, there has to be a season of staying. A season of staying. The grace to stay is also the grace for separation. To separate you from that which is carnal. So you can start to thirst. Find strength within you to thirst for that which is eternal. Thirst, thirst. thirst, for that is a thirst. A thirst that is of me is a thirst that comes from me. A thirst that brings forth a testimony of the Father. Because as you come into that place of thirst, you taste as well. You taste of the goodness of the Lord. You see the goodness of the Lord and you thirst for more of the Lord. Oh, the seasons, abundant seasons of grace. Grace to thirst. Grace to be separated. Grace to thirst and to be separated. Thirst, thirst, a priest, 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 in the priestly temple. Aria potaria stadita risto fotoria kanya. Orist santo of caris, the priest, a thirst, the priest, a rista harista. Oh, for ye a fee a mufris, a nearaboria. For you see, rato stidiabo priestly, priestly things. Macaria about pa priest, priest, priests, preach, priests, preach, priest. Pari por aniarabo porin ariarodos yeredes yerededos yerbo papari erbo. For there is an anointing in the house. Rarosi, an anointing in the house. Take heed in the season, because my waters cannot come. Rahasta. If a priestly utterance doesn't come forth, because my waters are my words, and my word is life. I bring in this season teachings, teachings from he who has been anointed to speak as a priest. Ara! Rosti arabat hoshti zanyarana tosta farra ost zaryarabosta hayarararara. Because it takes the office of a priest to bring men into that place of thirst. Oh, and you have a high priest. After the order of Melchizedek, yes, there is that high priest, but in this house there is a priest as well. Holy Arabah priest, for I have sanctified his lips. I have washed him and I am washing him with the water of the word. Priestly things will he speak, because yes, he is mine. Priestly things, he is mine. He speaks as a vessel. The things he speaks are not his own things, but I have found a vessel who is worthy to carry the priestly things. Yes, priestly things. Do not belittle that which is in your midst, because the prey is coming and planting thoughts. How can there be a priest in this mist? But we are but men. Yes, that is why he puts glory in the earthen vessels. Priestly things. Priestly things. Priestly things. There is an oracle. Rahab Oshtsiak. Priestly things, priestly things.
I kai stoi fele kai ro dei se di stai lo se che da lo stai na ai za lo stai fa noi se ne kare ro stai messe noi na mercy ne noi ste la ro se di na
you see You see, Harasu, you see that which is of the natural. But it takes the office of a priest to cause you to see that which is of the spirit. You see and you cannot deny that which is of the natural. But without the office of a priest, you will never see that which is undeniable.
Mm-hmm.
There is that which is more truthful than the things of the natural. Oh, and it takes the office of a priest. Honor, honor those priests. Do not despise in your heart. Do not doubt in your heart. For there is a highness in the heart, that which the Pharisees could not take out of their hearts, and that was why they could not see a carpenter being raised to be the Son of the Most High God. But if you can come into that place where you take away that veil that is in your eyes, and you listen to the words that come forth out of me through my vessel, Rista, you will be raised. You will be raised incorruptible. Stay in this season and come into the life of the priests. Amen.
Let's just begin to thank God for his word this morning. This is God speaking to us. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you. I worship your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, we bless you. We bless you, oh, lover of our soul. Thank you. Thank you for being so faithful. Thank you for caring for us, for being tender, being kind and loving. Thank you, Father. Father, we honor your words this morning. We don't take them as man's words, because they are not. They are your own words, Father. You said we should despise not prophesying. These are sayings of, by utterance, Father, concerning how you ought to begin to reveal yourself, even in this day. Thank you. Thank you for that light that is shining presently in the heavens, and which is shining towards the earth, calling hearts to turn, to look upwards. Father, we are praying this morning for so much help from above. Help beyond what our will can muster, beyond our natural appetite and desire. Father, you spoke of hosts who will help us to inherit that light, to come into that light. Oh, Father, we pray for yielding mercy.
Yes, Lord.
Yielding grace to yield our hearts. Father, we come under this ministration. We bring all our being under you in faith, in anticipation of great mercies from your throne this morning. Lord, we hallow your word in our hearts. We exalt you. We lift you up. We magnify you beyond every thought, every imagination, beyond everything, oh God. We honor you in this moment, oh Father. Thank you for gifts, tongues, interpretation, prophecies, which you have given to profit withal. Father, we ask for leading now into the waters of the scriptures for establishment of these things, O God. Holy Spirit of the living God, the revealer, the unveiler, the teacher, the comforter, the garment of the Father, His light, His wine, His oil. We just submit to you this morning. We ask for you to come and help us, every heart this morning. Beginning from myself, I yield myself completely unto you as nothing, just a jar of clay, a vessel, O Lord, that you will use, O God, to speak to us. Father, I'm praying, let there be an entrance of your word, because it is the entrance that gives life this morning. Lord, there's a direction in the spirit this morning. I don't know how to follow. I don't know the way. I can't find it by myself. But as you're proving over and over again to lead, to show the way, to shed light, scripture by scripture, understanding by understanding, line by line, precept by precept, Father, may your spirit again help us this morning to break into the waters of the spirit for edification, for nourishment, for clarity, for understanding, for establishment, O God, in righteousness. Father, we thank you. Father, we worship you. Father, we bless your name. Father, may your word dissolve doubts this morning, every unbelief, any skepticism of what you are doing in our days and in our time, any skepticism, everything that's skeptical of the emphasis of the Spirit for us, for this season and for this time. Father, may that substance, that authority of the Scriptures, may it bring dissolution of doubts.
Amen.
May faith be imparted by hearing. This morning, open our ears to hear. Open the eyes of our understanding to see. Father, help us. We worship you, Jesus. We bless you. Oh, Lord Jesus, we ask you are the high priest. We ask, come and show your Father. Come and shed light. You say you are the light of the world, and anyone who follows you will not walk in darkness. We ask you, God, as we follow your steps this morning, we ask that we will move into light and even into greater light. But if there be any here who hasn't understood before, today let them understand. Let light be shed. Grace, oh God, for a new sight, a new understanding. We invite the oracles of God. We ask for entrance into the ministry of the prophetic spirit that foretells that which is to come, that can see that which is yet unseen, that can discern that which is not yet known to men. Father, we ask even that vehicle of transport out of the present into the future. We ask, oh God, that vehicle of the Spirit which can carry hearts and move us into new experiences, may that vehicle be present this morning.
Amen.
To take us, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. We neshesi atnon asetani matrasi alaveni tavana asafa aleve elvi el tozi estemi etni faranasta ilia vastevin reliva Kalamasuteni shetebreta etaveta lisa threteni asasa lava nalia alta elta hili elven isis deveta vadaval elvaranis de shepreteni envarese ataman ratani satibreta elikapata kalash endra hesta patra elivista pratandita asta prata testa vreta parita prata breta beta separata pati breta beta beta breta beta 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 separata parita preta peta beta breta beta beta under sandra el shetavanestis. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. 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 Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes,
Lord. Laid on the throne, laid on the cross, laid the raro, oh, ariarabo, oh, and laid Christ, yarara Christ, for ye are Christ. Christ, for ye are Christ, ye are Christ, ye are Christ. He has laid it, he has laid it, he has paid the prayer price. Woo! He has paid that price. The walkings of faith. The walkings of faith. Men, 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 my men walk by faith, not by sight. For faith is the key to life. Faith is the key to my light. Faith that was birthed by he who is called Christ. For Jesus is that Christ, the author and the finisher, Radaba, of your faith, my faith, and your salvation. It is that faith that will bring you into the light of life. The faith that had Yaranos, San Yaraman Yaranos, the faith that has in it all the powers of the Godhead. Woo! The faith that raised him from the dead, raised him above principalities and powers. It is that faith that brought forth the power that caused him to sit at the right hand of the Father. Till his enemies be made his footstool. Faith. Without faith, you cannot see me. Christ. The faith of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Faith, faith, faith. Thank you, Jesus. For you see, this faith is a spirit. 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 This faith has no carnal, reasoning. It has no carnal attachments. This faith is arising from within. This faith is a faith that rises from within. It is a faith that brings every thought. It is a faith that brings every thought into captivity. Every high knowledge, every high wisdom. It is the faith of the Son.
the faith of the Son of God, which cometh from the God of lights himself, the Father of lights. This is a faith that is hidden in eternity. It is a faith that is hidden in eternity. It is a faith that no man can otherwise come into. It is a faith that no man can otherwise see if mercy does not speak. But in this season, abundance of mercy is speaking. And so you are coming into faith. Faith. Faith that will raise you from the carnal. That will raise you from the carnal to the spiritual. Receive the faith. If you believe, you will receive. You will receive and you will see those things that pertain to the promises, the great and precious promises that have been foreordained and predestined for you. Walk in the faith of the Son.
Walk, Nesedesha, Yaradusta Kai, Shadow de Nanasta, Way, Radoi, Shadai, Sikadoi, Fenenoi, Felerosta, Light, Hato, Tekai, Inanostene, Feninanoshonesta, Waka de Sade, Fala, Lole, Lale, Kadista, Leila, Loile, Nesta, Kedena, Nosta, Doifa, Iradosta, Leila, Life, and the Kaisto, Yeredosha, Deifa, La Soidan, and Oina, Naina, Life, Ila, Losona, Nesta, Kayaradosha, Deista, Luca, Ina, Mesdo, De, Deisha, De, Boroista, Lila, Loike, and Nosta, and Oina, Sheka, Daista, Yaradosa, Leida, Dadusta, Deifa, and Okedosha. Walk as it is, Laradosta. Walk as it is, Laradosta. Walk as it is, Laradosta. Walk as son, and I shall an oyster, and I can assure they for Yaradosta. Nefe to stete, Yaradosta, and I tonoina, and the Kaista, and Yaradosta. Walk as Taina no Sekadesha, Yerebosa, later Nina no Kade, Siladus, Defedesha. Walk as Tano noina lighta listaina no sedei da saita nei fa lista o dei fa dosta sona saita naisha ne no kado istere doi fa ira dosta naina ne keira dosta nai fa doi sedeista le sede doi na na kaista noina na sesta no na noina le fa doi sa aita toina ne kedeista woka saina no stene noina ne sha doi sta dei da dosta dei da le sa doi te dei fa ira dosta hei na nai na nai na nai no ne kedoista nei fadusta nei kadosta hei ara dosta nei na wak sele doista nei kadosta nei fadisha. No man had seen God at any time except the only begotten of the Father. He has seen the Father. Walk as he has walked, for his footprints leads to the Father, his steps leads to the Father, to the throne of the Father. Walk as he has walked, so you would enter into glory also. No man can come near this throne. No man can see this throne except through him, except through the Son, whom God himself had chosen to lead man to the throne, to lead man to himself. Walk as he has walked. His sight, his faith, the faith he has authored is the sight that will lead you into this walk that will lead you to the throne. Walk as he has walked. He has authored the faith. Walk in the faith of the Son. That faith only leads to the Father. It is the only way to the Father. The Son is the way to the Father. Walk as he has walked. Follow his footprints. He is the bishop and the shepherd of your soul. He is leading you as a flock to the Father. Walk as he has walked. See as he sees. Live as he lived. Your life is hid in him. Lay down this life, this carnal life, that you will be raised in him, and pick your life in him. Walk as he has walked. For that walk only leads to the throne. That walk only leads to glory. Walk that you will receive that crown of glory. Walk that you would come into glory.
Walk that you would see glory. Walk that you will become glory. Walk. 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 Walk as he has walked. Walk. Nekadoista, walk. Nestenesha radoista, walk. Lakaira dostene inanadusta de yaradosta. Only he knows the righteousness of God. Only he knows the things that are right before God. Walk as he has walked. Only he knows the way. Walk as he has walked. There is no other way. There is no other path. There is no other doctrine but the doctrine of the Son. Walk as he has walked. Attend your ears to his word. Walk as he has walked, that you may be with me. Walk as he has walked.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we receive your word. And thank you because your word comes with grace also. So we trust you that you will show us how to walk as you desire. Thank you, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Good morning, everyone.
It's still morning.
please just greet someone beside you. Just welcome them to the house of God. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We thank God for this morning. Unusual visitation from God this morning. There is so much utterance. I feel like we can just keep going, and the prophecies will continue. Praise the Lord. Because the stream where this prophecy is coming from is endless. We can keep going. Praise the Lord. I think it's very clear the emphasis in the spirit in this season, that there is a kind of migration that heaven wants to cause to happen. Right? That's a general theme that I see, a kind of migration. Amen.
Amen.
Moving out of the natural terrain of the soul and moving into a new place. That new place is the place that Christ came to bring men into, like she was just saying in that interpretation. So Jesus Christ came from somewhere, right? Do we agree? He came from somewhere. Where he came from, it's not where other men before him came from. Because when he came, it was clear that this is a different kind of man. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Not in his body per se. I'm sure he must have looked like everybody else. I'm not sure there was anything different. But in the content of his soul and his spirit, he was a new man. He brought something different. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And he came from another world, really. Jesus came from another world. And you see, all this ministry of the Spirit is actually testifying to that place. Amen. He's trying to testify there is a place yonder, far away from our own vicinity. You know what a vicinity is? It means where you can, the place where you see and you know and you're used to. There's another reality, another world far away. And that's where he came from. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And what I'm just seeing in this season is I'm seeing a call from that place. I don't know how many of you are sensing it. That some of these things, they're not, in a way, they're not sayings that make you comfortable. You know, the kind of language you hear normally when you come to church and, you know, God bless you. God is good all the time. And God is good all the time, praise God. And but there's not, I have nothing against that, but it's just that there are more things that needs to come into our consciousness as God's creatures. Praise God. We are, we were made in his image after his likeness, but we know very little of him. Right? We know little, we just know he, to many of us it's still a faraway concept. Just he's just God. We know there's God and you know he's there, he made everything, but when it comes to inward experience of knowing, fellowship, communion, we have very little and we know very little. Praise God. But the more we read the scriptures, the more we, by the Holy Spirit, the more we examine closely the pages and the intent of the Spirit, we desire that we see that that gap is not God's will to leave that gap like that. You understand what I mean? Like, it's not God's will for, you know, your experience of God right now. It's not God's desire for that to be all of man's experience and then we'll go to heaven like that. There's an intention within God's heart in this earth, in our lifetime, to bridge that gap, to bring us into a higher experience, a closer experience. And as a matter of fact, he wants to bring us into that very place. Where that's, you know, that strange man, Christ, where he came from, where he began to speak from. God wants to bring us to that place. Amen.
Amen.
And that is what the teaching of the Spirit is for. Learning the Spirit is, when you are learning the Spirit, you are learning another world. And you are learning another time, or another age, or another season. Praise the Lord. Tomiwa, there's so much that has been said. These prophecies, we have to go back to them and listen and listen. I myself, I have to do that. And then listen and listen over and over and over again. Because a lot of direction I sense, it's heavy spiritually. It's heavy in the sense that they are weighty, that there are a lot of things that were said that needs to be dissolved and broken down and brought into the realm of understanding. I just want to encourage us, maybe if some of us who are not familiar with prophecy like that, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, the way the word comes, you know, Tomiwa is a prophet. You know, the way you know true prophets, it's not just what they say, they have prophetic nature, the way the utterance comes. And I thank God for his life. God is raising him. Amen. How many of you believe God is raising him? Are you seeing what God is doing? Praise God. This is, to me, this is one of the most beautiful things in my life, is seeing God raising people. It's a miracle. This is the greatest miracle. You know, the greatest miracle is a human being changing into something else. You know, this is what Satan has swore that can never happen. But God is doing it. God is changing us. And he's depositing gifts. He's depositing ability. You know, New Testament operation of gifts of the Spirit, like prophecy and tongues interpretation, is not the way you excel. Really excelling in those gifts is not even in just the utterance alone. It's in the background of understanding. You know what I mean? From where that utterance can come from. You know, when a tongue comes like that, a tongue is an expression of a word that has come. Right? God is saying something and it's clear in the air that there's something, and then a tongue comes. Well, it's one thing for that to come, but being able to use words, you know what? Tongue interpretation of tongue is using words to try and bring some definition or some clarity to what the Spirit is saying. Amen. And to do that, there has to be some inward workings. You know what I mean? Because it's from that inward deposits of understanding that the Holy Spirit takes and he uses to bring utterance. So let's thank God for his life for submitting himself to be used by God, to be raised up. Praise the Lord. The more you yield yourself to God, the more you can be a blessing to others. Thank God for his life. Thank God for Sister Biola as well. Thank God for every single one of us who God is working in, and God will continue to work in to help us, to bring us into perfection. I'm very humbled, really, to be a witness of God's move. It's very clear, this is not man's move. It's not, it's not a project. Like men carry out projects, it's just the Spirit of God moving among us, and we're just following what he's doing. Praise the Lord. Let's open the Bible to the book of John. There's a short time, but we'll just do a little, as much as we can this morning. John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 21. Praise the Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We worship what we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Because he is a spirit, he can't receive any other kind of worship. Because he's a spirit, they which worship him must worship him in what? Spirit. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Must worship him in spirit and in truth. Praise God. Verse 22 said, But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Praise the Lord. Now this hour, Jesus is speaking about, that hour, obviously we're saying from last week, it's not just a natural timing, right? It's a season spiritually. There's a season of true worship. That will tell you that true worship hasn't always happened, even though worship has been going on in the world, on the earth. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But there is a season when that which is called true worship, that true worship is that which the Father seeks. There are not too many things the Bible says God seeks, right? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Verse 23 says, The Father seeketh such. The Father seeketh such. He's looking for such to worship him. Because he is a spirit. Those who will worship him must worship in spirit. Means if you haven't come into spirit and truth worship, you haven't really worshipped the Father. Because this is the way he desires to worship. Now, Jesus is saying the hour is coming and now is. Now, that phrase, I want to dwell on that phrase a little. The hour is coming. Praise God. You see, I see through the New Testament, I see that sense of timing when it comes to perfection. Of God's desires. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
There's a sense of timing. It speaks of, is always, in a way, it's futuristic. Amen. Is what? Futuristic. It speaks of that which is to come. That which is to come. Amen.
Amen.
Now, that which is to come is not futuristic in our, just in our timing alone. Praise God.
Amen.
So when you say something is to come, now, when you say it is to come, you're saying is to come with reference to a specific realm or a domain. Okay? If it's to come, it means it is actually somewhere, or it has been somewhere, but it's just to come here. You understand? So when he says it, so this one now, he says it now is, but it's to come. The time is coming and now is. Now, that pattern of worship or that way of worship which God is looking for from men is a kind of worship which will come, which man will come into. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Is a worship which what?
Man
will come into. But for man to come into that worship, it has to be brought. Amen. It has to be what? Be brought. And that worship is actually already existing in a realm beyond our realm. Amen. And that realm is where Christ came from. Because Jesus himself is the one who will, he's a teacher of worship. Really, what he came to do is to show man how to worship. Praise God. Is to do what? To show men how to worship God. How should men worship? Because men were created for worship. You understand? We're made to worship. We are beings of worship. And so, but we did not know worship. So God had to send someone to teach worship. Now, worship is the original intention. And if worship is the original intention, it means that worship also is the destination. You understand? Mm-hmm. Means worship is, or let me put it the word, perfection of worship. Is where we, that's where we are heading to. If you think of what's the destiny of man, when you think of yourself as a human being, at what point will I have come into fulfillment of destiny or the purpose of being created? The answer to that question is you come to that place when you have become that being of worship which God envisioned. When he created man. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, if you haven't come into that state of true worship, when you say true, it means relative to a standard. It is exact. It is right. Praise God.
Amen.
Truth can't be defined independently of a universal standard. That universal standard, we know from the nature of truth, is that it's not something that God is just thinking about now. It's something that has ever been. It's himself. Praise the Lord. God himself is a standard of worship. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Worship actually means just, it just means conformity. It means alignment. Alignment, you are aligned. What are you aligned with? You are actually aligned with an order. You are aligned with an age. You are aligned with a time. And you are aligned with a being. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now, that being, what your God actually wants to do is to bring creation into alignment with that realm from where creation came from. You know, God is himself, right? Is what creation is a product of the Word. You know, right? It says, without him was, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and, you know, the Word was God. It says, without him was nothing made that was made. So without the Word was nothing made. says we know that the walls were framed by the word of God. Praise God. Now you see that word. Word is will, intent. Word of God is who God is. Everything, all the definition of his being, of his person, of all he will ever be, and all he is his word. Creation is a child of that word. Praise the Lord. So if creation is a child of that word, it means the will that brought forth creation, praise the Lord, is the will of that, of the being, of the creator. And in that will, there is no desire for anything. The Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 4 that he created all things, right? And for his pleasure they are. And what? And were created. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. You see, in creation, you see that he created all things. Whenever they speak of creation, they always refer to God somehow. After, in his image. And God made man. What? Let us make man in our image. He didn't say, let us just make man. Let him exist separately in our image. And then after our likeness. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, you see, that thing called worship. Why did God not create man and leave man alone? Why is it that even when you go back to Genesis, in the beginning, in the book of the beginning, that's Genesis, right? You discover that when the first steps we saw of men living, one of the things they began to do was worship. You see, like Abel, right? He was the first man who began to bring forth steps of righteousness. Praise God. And you will see it among in the fathers in their life, they were worshippers. It means that man is not made to live without a consciousness of him that is what? Above. Or without a consciousness of the Creator. So worship just means an alignment. Amen.
Amen.
It's an alignment with divine purpose. You see that? Alignment with what?
Divine
purpose. Now, that alignment, when you say, I'm trying to define something here, God will help us.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
When you say that which is to come, okay, let's go to the book of Revelation, first of all, chapter 1. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Revelation chapter 1, right? It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things, which what? Must shortly come to pass. Now, that word, things which must shortly come to pass. This book, we've seen it as a book that tells us about the rapture, right? And then all the bad things that will happen, all the plagues and everything. Amen. But this book, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Praise God. God gave it to him to show unto his servants, right? Things which must shortly, he says, come to pass. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Things which was what? Which must shortly what? Come to pass. Now see. Says, and he sent it and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, verse 2, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all the things that he saw. In verse 1, he says that that revelation of Jesus, God gave to him to show to Jesus, right? Things which must what? Shortly come to pass. And he sent it through his angel to John. Now, in verse 2, what did John bear? Record of what? Of the word of God, the testimony of Jesus, and the things which he saw. These are the three things in the book. Praise God. Now, these three things are the things which must come to pass. Look at it. Take time. Look at it. What God gave to him to show his servants, things which must come to pass. Do you see that? things which must come to pass, right? To show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And then he sent it to his angel, to John. And then John, you see that colon, is explaining more, that same thought. Right? Who bear record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And then what? All the things that he saw. So the things which must come to pass, which they sent to show him, is the word of God, the testimony of Jesus Christ, and then all the things which he saw. Praise God. The word of God, the testimony, the word of God, and then the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, see, those things are the things that will come to pass. That word, come to pass, come to pass. To pass means that these are the things that will occur or that will happen. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Now, do you know that not all of God's word, so when you say the word of God and then the testimony, now, the word, the testimony of Jesus Christ is what? Christ is testifying of God, right? Or of the word. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Christ is what? Testifying of the word of God. Now, that testimony, the word testimony, testify. Testimony means witness. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Testimony means what?
Witness.
To testify. Testimony is an instrument that, or is a vehicle, an instrument that is used to bring the ignorant into a truth that is established. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now, there is a truth. Now, and then there are those who that truth is destined for. In order to bring them to the knowledge of that truth, there has to be a testimony. It means that that truth has to be testified of. It has to be spoken about. It has to be declared. It has to be said. Am I making some sense?
Yeah.
Right. It means that if it's not said, it can't be delivered. You understand what I'm saying? What you see, this scriptures, the word of God, that word of God, or the testimony of God, the word of God, the Bible says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Now, that settled word, do you know that if without testimony, you can't access the settled word, that word that is God. Says that word was with God, and the word was God. Praise the Lord. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. Praise the Lord. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. That in that state, the word was not a testimony to man. You can call it a testimony in God. Maybe testifying to himself. But that was that description, that was John. That was a description by the Spirit. Can you imagine how John came up with that? It wasn't in his mind. It was the Holy Ghost trying to bring a picture of the state of the word. Praise the Lord. You know, John, in that chapter, what was John was just trying to describe to you? He was making the case for the advent of Jesus. Of why, you know, later, and I said the word was made flesh in chapter 14 or so. You understand what I'm saying? So he was just trying to tell you the word, where the origin, that there is something that was beyond the reach of man, far away from man, that had to be brought to man. He says the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word itself was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was nothing made that was made. You see, are you seeing that? So that word was God. And then he began to make things. Amen.
Amen.
Now he made things. And we know those things he made was for his pleasure. Right? He made stuff. Then it says, all things were made by him. Without him was nothing made that was made. Then he now said the next verse, in him was life. And then that life was then what? Light. That word light means testimony. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
In him was life. And that life was the light of men. So he made, when he says creature, you know, creatures, all of creature was made for man. Will you agree with that statement? Even angels, do you agree? You know, God made heaven first, including the angels and all that dwell therein, the host of them. He made them and he kept it there. Then he came and made the earth. And then he began to form the earth and made everything and then made man last. Man was the last thing he created. Telling that everything else was made for man. He did everything and then put man there. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, so when he says all things were made by him, really what he's telling that man was made by him. Right? And without him was nothing made that was made. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So that man, and now says, in him was life, and that life was the light of man. So he made man, then he had to find a way for his light to come. Now, light is actually testimony. Do you understand me?
Yes,
light, when you say a light has come, means everywhere was dark before. Those things that you see when the light comes on, they were there before.
Yes, sir. Yes.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But you couldn't access them in the realm of sight, in the realm of awareness. Your consciousness, your awareness was cut off from them. You were in darkness until the light came. When light, now light, let me just share a little bit of physics to you, how light works. Some of us might know this. But you see that light bulb there? Now, the reason why you can see this book or anything you can see or that clock is because light, what you call photons, they are light particles. That light bulb emits photons. And those tiny, tiny, tiny photons, micro, but you can't see them, become the bounce of this thing. Right? And it as it bounces off there, it comes into your eyes. And when your eyes receives it, based on, you know, photons, light behaves both as a wave and a particle. It's called wave-particle duality of light. Praise the Lord. So it means that those photons, they behave like waves too. They have an amplitude. They have frequency and wavelength. Based on when it bounces off that thing, the wavelength and the frequency alters. And then your eye reads that. And based on what it reads, it can distinguish. Because the wavelength and the frequency of the light that comes from this thing here will be different from the light, from the one that comes from this black spot. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
sir. Should I say what I said again? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, white light, let's say white light that's coming, all the photons have the same frequency and the same wavelength. Exactly the same. But once it bounces off something with a certain color, that thing, once it bounces off, it changes its wavelength and its what?
Frequency.
Its frequency. Now, when your eyes receives it, because of that change in the wavelength and frequency, your eyes knows, okay, this one is red. Because your eyes knows the frequency of red and the frequency of black and all the colors in the spectrum. So your eye tells your brain, this is what I'm seeing. And this is what I'm trying to tell you, that before the light was turned on, that thing was there. But light brings the testimony.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Light tells you that thing, which was, it was there, it was dark. You couldn't see it. It was there. The same way we're talking about atheists the other day, how atheists say there is no God. But how can you know there is no God if God is outside the realm of your consciousness? Because you don't know anything, you can't prove there is no God. It's just that he might be somewhere, but you just don't know. Praise God. It means that light hasn't come to you.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to think as a person, how many things there are that exist that you don't know about?
Mm.
How many do you think there are? Praise the Lord. So, amen. Now, how much have you learned in just your 20-something years of being alive? You've not learned anything. You don't know much. Even of the natural world, you don't know much. Praise God. So I want you to now imagine where God is. You know, that creator who, the Bible says, without him was nothing made that was made. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, then he made stuff. And he said, he was life. That life was the light of man. The light of man means man was actually made for that light. He was the light. Means this is man's light. Means that this being, this life, in him was life. Means the life that is in him, that is what should be illuminating man. That's what man is made to know. If man knows everything else, but he doesn't know that life, it means that man has not known his light. He hasn't come into knowledge of what he is supposed to know. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. You see, Tomoa was speaking about lights today in his, in the, when he was interpreting, amen, he was talking about variety of lights. That's one thing you should know, there are many lights. Praise God. Now, the fact that something is a light to your soul doesn't mean it is your light. Knowledge of the economy is a light. You can't deny it is a light. Someone can come in now and tell you everything about the stock market and everything, and they will show you how, you know, you can be the next billionaire, in, you know, and that's not bad. You can't deny it is a light. Praise the Lord. Knowledge of the human body, like the doctors have, is a light. Right? It means that there are things that they know that you don't know. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Because they've studied it. They've allowed it some illumination in their soul. That they study the human body to a point where they gain access. And there are different fields. So there are different lights that the soul can learn. Amen.
Amen.
But there's a light called the light of man. Praise the Lord. Amen. It means that any man who hasn't known that light, doesn't matter what you know, you are ignorant. When it comes to the essence of your being, why you were created, there is a light that man should know. And that light is a life. Is a life. In him was life. And his life is what? The light of man. So what is man's learning? Man's learning is God's life. Is we are made to learn the life that brought you forth. Or the light that made you to be. The life of God himself. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now, coming into that understanding, knowing that that is the learning of worship. If you ask me, what is worship? I don't know. I'm trying to use words. Okay. I'm seeing all kinds of definitions. But if I'm defining worship, I would say worship is coming into the true state of being. True state what?
Of being.
Of being. Of being. Means there's a way you can be as a human being, how you are. Yeah. But most of us, we are not true. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We are not true. When I say true now, I mean there's a standard of how you should be. Don't let anyone confuse you. You can be anything. Yeah. It's a lie. You know. You came from somewhere. You know, there was an intelligence that actually made you. Praise the Lord. And so there is a way, there's what you ought to be.
Yeah.
And what you ought to be is not up to, it is written. Praise the Lord. What you ought to be, what is what? Is written. So Jesus Christ said in the book of Hebrews, right? He said in chapter 10, he said that sacrifices and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. He said, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will. Oh God. Praise the Lord. You know, it's not just Jesus. You know, it is written of you also. Do you know that if you search the book, you will find where it is written of you? Do you know that? It's not just Jesus alone. It is what? Written. Your eternal destiny is written in the book. Do you know where that writing is?
Where is that writing? That writing. Where is it? It is called the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which should shortly come to pass. Praise the Lord. That writing is called the word of God and the testimony. Means that is what Jesus came to say. Jesus just came to the world to say some things to men. When I say some things, it means he came to bring, to testify of a life. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
He came to testify of the place from where he came. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Because in that John chapter 1, in verse 14, it says, and then that word which we're describing was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we now beheld his glory as of the only begotten, means he came from the Father. Praise the Lord, full of grace and truth. Before he said that, he spoke of John, where John now began to say that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's John the Baptist. Said he was not that light, but he came to bear witness of the light. Praise God. He was not what? That light, but he came what? To bear witness of the light. Who is the light?
Jesus Christ.
He said, I am the light of the world. Anyone who followeth me, John chapter 8, right? Shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So it means that if you don't follow him, where are you walking?
Darkness.
Now, let's say you have 5 degrees from different colleges, master's, PhD, and everything, but you don't follow him. Do you have light?
No.
You don't have light. You can know things, but you have other lights, but you don't have the light. You don't have your light. When they look at you, this man is dark. You are ignorant. With all you know, you are still ignorant. We are in this season in the world. This is a time where knowledge will be magnified. Those who know will be the power brokers. You understand what I'm saying? In this world. But you know, there's another realm of power. Not here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
There's another realm. There's a higher realm where it matters more to have power. It's called having power with God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, you can't have power with God if you don't have your light. Or if you've not come into a revelation of your light. So he said that any man that followeth me will not longer walk in darkness, but will have what? The light of life. They have the understanding of life because they are following me. I am the light of the world. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now, I have a question for you this morning. Are you interested in knowing what Jesus brought to the earth?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? You're very interested. How interested are you?
Mm-hmm.
A little. A TSA, how interested are you? Praise the Lord. Are we interested in knowing that light? Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Now, when Jesus came, he says, we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, right? Full of what?
Grace
and truth. And in John chapter 4, Jesus was saying that the time has come and now is when true worshippers will worship who? The Father in spirit and in truth. Now, when he says truth there, truth is God. Right?
Yes, sir.
And truth is also the word, or the word of God. Do we agree with that?
Yes, sir.
Now, what Jesus came to bring was it to testify of that truth. Amen.
Amen.
Now, there are different prophecies that are going forth in the world about the end time and all that, you understand? But the true prophecy, or the prophecy, is that which speaks about that thing which should come to pass. All right. When it comes to God, in God's heart, and this is the heart of God, honestly speaking, this is God's heart. God's desire is, there's something in his heart that should come to pass. Right? God is not double-minded. He doesn't have different many things. I mean, there are things you can say, God did this, God did that for me. Quite all right. Praise God. God can do many things. But when it comes to his own, that which is his own will, what he wants to do. You understand? Like if I have many kids here now, kids, I want this, I want that, I'm giving them, but that's not what is in my heart. I'm just satisfying them. I have a desire in my heart, right? So when he's saying that thing which must come to pass, he's speaking with respect to the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Now, for those things to come to pass, things coming to pass on in that sense of revelation are not things that will happen around you. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
They are not things that will happen maybe in the sky or in the sea, maybe earthquakes or tsunamis or nations fighting nations and all kinds of things that are those signs and natural. Praise God. Things which should come to pass. What is that thing that should come to pass? Can someone just say it? Sorry? The word, okay. What should come to pass? The testimony. Things which he saw. Praise God. Now, what are those things? Where do those things have bearing in? They have bearing inside the heart. Amen.
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 You see, there is a prophetic language of the scripture. That prophetic language of the New Testament is not speaking of things that will happen naturally. In all of creation, God just has his treasure. His treasure are just men. You understand? That's God's treasure. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So things that should come to pass are things that should happen in the hearts of men. Or things that should come to pass within men's heart. Those testimony, that testimony of Christ, which is testifying of the life of Jesus, that testimony is a way to bring into the hearts of men all the life which is in God. That which is to come to pass is for hearts to come access the life. See, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. I mean, that light of men means that the light is testifying of that life, and he wants to bring that life to come in the hearts of men. Now, so any person who accesses that life and begins to live that life, in that person, that which is prophesied has come to pass. Amen.
Amen.
Now, that person, when that has come to pass, then you've created a worshiper. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You've created a worshiper, and that word for it, you've created a servant. Now, in that book of Revelation, when they use the word servant, what are they speaking of? When they say he's servant, are they saying he's preachers? Or those who preach the word?
Yes, sir.
What is service?
Those who do his will.
Those who do his will, right?
Yes,
servants are worshippers. God's service is worship.
Yes.
So if you check in that Revelation, just chapter 1, let's just look at that verse well. That verse 1 and 2. Amen.
Amen.
It says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show who? So it means the revelation is for service. It's actually the manual for service. It's the manual for worship. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
God gave to him to show, because he is the light. You get, Jesus doesn't, he didn't come to show any other thing. It's what God gave to him to show. That's what he's coming to show. That is the, he is the, that's what he is a light of. He's a light of that life. So, and he is a light to teach service. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
To teach service or to teach worship. Jesus was a teacher of worship. The teacher of true worship. When Jesus came, he wasn't disturbed with who is ruling, who's the governor. That's what the disciples, they thought that he would go and you know, try and take over the government naturally, but he wasn't interested in that. If you check, Jesus always had a problem with the temple. He was always, when he was 12, the first time after he grew, the first thing they saw about him in the book of Luke was that he went into the temple. His parents were looking for him. He was in the temple. That would tell you that his heart. Why didn't he run to Caesar's palace or Herod's palace and begin to say, why did you guys not appropriate the funds properly? Why are there many poor people suffering and you guys are enriching yourself and you get angry at that or something? Why did he go there and start learning? Or why didn't he go to Herod's palace and say, okay, I just want to learn how the governance is going happening. Or let's learn how you create a budget for the community and how do you plan, you know, the community. Those are, I don't know, righteous things. Those are the things we preach today that Christianity is for, right? Going to the marketplace, making impact and all that. When Jesus was 12, why didn't he go there? And then they ask him, why is he here? Must I not be about my father's business? No, that's not his father's business. Where did the Holy Ghost was leading him. Where they lead him to? The temple. That's where they found him. What happens in the temple?
Worship.
So, it means right from a child, as he was being raised by the Holy Ghost and being taught by angels, they began to impress. I mean, that what led him to that temple was an impression. You know, as a 12-year-old, he was already thinking about it, that in this whole society, there's one thing that's important. Do you know it was that thing that drove him into the temple at 12? That was the thing. Then they asked him, why now? He said, must I not be about my father's business? It means he saw that as the father's business. It means it's what is happening in the temple. Worship. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You saw multiple times, you say when he went to the temple again, it was anger. How many times did you just get angry? There are not that many. Amen. But what got him angry was what was happening in the temple. Some of us are not too moved by what's happening in the temple. We are moved more by what CNN is saying. And what's happening over the global this and that and then that. We sound smart because we know the current affairs and all that. We know everything that's happening around the world, but we don't know what's happening in God's temple. We don't care about the temple. You know what? The temple is not that church that you see out there. What is the temple? The temple is your heart. Thank you. Your heart. Your heart. Someone with a clean... With a messed up, dirty temple, who's a Christian, can say, well, my life's purpose is to go into government and bring about God's, you know, dominion of the kingdom, kingdom governance. So we begin to write kingdom laws so that, but you're inside you, what's happening? There's mess inside the soul. You understand what I'm saying? See, that temple of the heart is God's temple. So a worshiper is somebody who has come into alignment with true worship. And that worship can't come without revelation. Which revelation? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his worshippers things which should come to pass. In them, really. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, when he was saying time, I'm just seeing Jesus' mandate was to bring man into a different time or into a different age. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
To bring man into when?
Different
into a different time and into what?
A different
age. In God's eyes, what characterizes a season or an age or a dispensation is the kind of worship that's happening. Do you know the scripture is actually divided into different ages? The two main divisions are Old Testament and New Testament. Now, those Old Testament pretty much is just a season of a kind of worship. That's all it is. Mm. New Testament is a new season of a different kind of worship. Praise God.
Amen.
If you look at the demarcators, even in the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament, Genesis to end of Malachi, right? What actually demarcates the seasons were different ways of worshiping. Right?
Yes,
there was a time before the law. The Bible speaks about that era before the law, when men didn't have the written law. But the Bible says that people who didn't have the law had the law written in their hearts at that time. Right, there was a conscience within them that was dictating their life. Amen. And they are saying that was the season of the Father. That was one season. All those things are worship. Different stages and season of worship. When God sees man, if God looks at man and looks at the whole timing of man and dispensations of man, all God sees are just different seasons of worship. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
This is what? Different what? Seasons of worship. And he weighs them. Sometimes worship was very, very low. There were times when there was almost no worship at all. There was no word at all. Worship wasn't rising. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
But there are times when Jesus Christ came. Jesus Christ brought the true definition. The first time that the true definition of worship was found with man was when Christ came. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, Christ has his day. The Bible calls it his own days. He has his days. He has his season. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, Christ, even when he was at that time, you know, he told the woman, the time is coming and now is. Why was he saying that? Because him being there as what?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. In short, he was saying that a worshiper is standing in front of you right now. Even though to the world is coming. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He said, and now is, because I have come. He said, I have come, so now is. The time is coming. That time, Jesus is his own day. In fact, even in the natural, when you know he's coming, split time, when he died, you understand? That BC means before Christ, AD after. Praise the Lord. So even that was just a sign in the natural that this guy coming, something remarkable has happened in the times of man. When Christ came, that was when the true hope for fulfillment of man's destiny came. He split time in two. Because him coming means worship has come. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, he told that thief, for example, today you'll be in paradise. That today wasn't talking about sun calendar day. He was talking of his day. Say, as long as it is called today, if you hear his voice, not harden your heart. Say, that you are my son. Today have I begotten you. Praise God. That day is called the day of the Son of Man. A definition of a new day is a new day of worship. That day is a new time or a new season. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Do you know another thing that time is called? There is a time called the end times. Right? The end times. Even right from scripture, they even referred it to they call it the last days. So those, as soon as after Jesus Christ came, they began to talk about the last days. Even right from when John wrote his epistles, when Paul wrote the epistles, praise the Lord, he spoke about the last days are here. Even at 2,000, or almost 2,000 years ago, right? So the last days are here. What made it the last days? As soon as Jesus Christ came, it became the last days. Jesus Christ coming made time began to count towards the end. Because he is bringing the end of an era. And ushering man into a new era or into a new day. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Let me show you some things that he said. If you open to praise God. Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Luke verse 17, verse 20. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
It says, and are we there?
Yes, sir.
Luke 17, 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. It means that they asked him, right? Mm-hmm. When would the kingdom come? See, and he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Are you seeing that? It's not, don't look around you. That's not where kingdom is coming to. Remember what I said? I was explaining that when he says those things which should take place, he's talking about that man, the heart. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. So they asked him when the kingdom should come. See, it doesn't come. It means you can't see it like that. It's not a natural kingdom that you see outwardly. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He says, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is what? Within you. Amen. Now, kingdom of God means a time when God's dominion has taken over the hearts of men. When that happens, what happens? The kingdom of God has come. He says, the kingdom of God is within you. And then he said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of what? The Son of Man. And you what? Shall not see it. And they shall say unto you, see here or see there. Go not after them, nor what? Follow them. For as the lightning that lightning out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be when? In when? His day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in what? The days of what? The Son of Man. Amen. Are you seeing that when he's speaking of when his days will come to man? Right. First of all, I will tell you that those days coming, the day what he calls the days of the Son of Man, were not just the days of him walking in the flesh. Because if you read there, it says that day will not come until first of all rejected, right? Say it again. He will suffer many things. What verse is that? Yeah, but first must he suffer many things and then rejected of what? Of this generation. So what he's speaking is actually a day that resurrection will bring. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Okay, let me show you. Let's see. The book of John. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 52. It says, then said the Jews unto him, okay, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead. Whom makest thou thyself? I mean, who are you claiming to be? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. It says, yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, praise God, and keep what he's saying. Are you seeing what Jesus is saying? I know him. Amen. That's the authority of his testimony. Praise the Lord. Now verse 26 says, your father Abraham rejoiced toward see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now you see, that same day he told those guys that there are many of you who desire to see my day, you won't see it. I mean, many of them in that generation would desire to see it, they won't see it, and that day won't come to you guys. And he was not speaking to his disciples until after I am delivered to this generation, right? And that means he has to die and be resurrected in order for that day to be accessible to those men who were living, because his flesh was a veil to them. As long as that flesh was standing with them, they can't see that inward composition of Christ within him. And it says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and it was glad. Praise the Lord. And then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham, what? No, he didn't say I was. You understand? Praise God. He didn't say I was before. He said, before Abraham, I am. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You see that I am there. Remember how he introduced himself to John in Revelation? Right? What did he say? And it said, I am he that lives, was dead, and behold, am I alive forevermore. You see, I am he that was. That's I. First I am. Then was dead. Then I am alive. That's second I am. That's I am that I am. Right? So he's two I ams. Praise the Lord. He was I am. Praise God. Then was dead. That was dead spoke about the season of him being sown. Praise God. And then him being resurrected. I am was dead, and I am what? Alive forevermore. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, that I am is talking about, when he says I am, he's not speaking of Jesus. You know, Jesus, they are questioning his age here. You understand? You're not even up to how old are you? You're talking of Abraham. So it's not talking of his natural age. That tells you that the man within him, when he says I am, he's talking about the state of the world in the eternal past. Praise God. I am. See that word I am. Praise God. I am. He's talking of the existence of the eternal word. Abraham saw him. And after Abraham passed, Abraham must have seen. You see, that which these Jews were denying, right? Abraham must have seen it. I said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Did you know Abraham was a seeker of worship? That was his life. Those fathers, they said those guys that they have no continuing city. Say, but they seek that which is to come. You see, they have this profession that they seek a city which had foundations, whose maker and what? Builder. You know what this, that's a city is? City is a house of a temple. Read the book of Revelation 22. If you read it in chapter 22, when they described 21, when they described the city, it says the city has no temple therein, for the for God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
That, you said, that temple, amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Aye. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What the fathers were looking for, what the fathers were looking for, and they couldn't get, they couldn't lay hold on it. What they were looking for purity of worship. The fathers of faith were looking for what? Purity. Those men, that was what even the father of Jesus, David, that's what he was looking for. That was why he went to bring the ark from Shiloh and began to create another worship. He knew that there was worship is not right. We still have some infirmities when it comes to worship. Praise the Lord. All the father, you see Abraham, you see Moses even before Abraham, Enoch, for example. Bible says he walked with God and was not, because God what? Took him. His walk, he measured out the walk where it might, to God, God must have felt it might be unrighteous to leave this man here. he walked beyond the earth.
Oh my God.
And God took him. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. You see, all those fathers were worshippers according to the standard of the living soul which they had. Right. Abraham was a father. He was a father in the order of the living soul. But the living soul can't attain perfection of worship. But when the quickening spirit came, that was the bringing of a new day. That was the day which Abraham saw and was glad. That's what he's saying here. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So the prophecy, the testimony, the word. We have to stop. But something is opening up. It was, well, we have to stop here today. And we'll continue to look at this. But what I want us to know is that the end of the, when you say the prophecy, you know, the Bible says the testimony of Jesus is what? Is the spirit of what? Prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is what? The spirit of prophecy. He's not talking of spirit of prophecy, our prophet this, prophet that, prophesying stuff, right? When he says what is prophecy? Prophecy is that which can foretell that which is to come. Not man's to come. What will happen next tomorrow? No. What is that which is to come to God? Is that which should totally take place. Praise the Lord. Is the life or the kingdom. The kingdom is actually the prophecy that should come to man. And it says that the testimony is the spirit. The spirit which testifies of that which is to come. You see that that nature of the Holy Ghost, is he? What was he sent to do? To bring things to come. So when he comes, he will begin to, he will show you, John chapter 16, things to come. Is he showing you who will win the election next year? Are those things to come? But can Holy Ghost show you someone that? Yes, but that is not what, that's not his, that is not his mandate. He came to show things to come. Praise the Lord. Eye has not seen, ears have not heard what God has prepared for them that love him. But he has revealed them to us by his spirit. For the spirit what searches all things, yeah, even the deep things of God. It's those depths of God that is to come. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
There is a, all these messages are, God is calibrating us. You know, these are, you know, you want to, you come to the ground that has been there, that you need to sow some seeds into the ground. You can't just cast seed like that if the ground is still hard. You need to break the ground, break it down, you know, and then water it and, you know, all that, because, praise the Lord. And that's what God is doing to us. He's trying to tell us that there's more to this book than you know. It's not just some stories and all that stuff. No. If this book, they say this book is able to give God to you, is it just story? Means there must be something more. You understand what I'm saying? This book has an ability to rapture you into a different world in your soul. Means it can bring you into the experience of God, and even it can bring you into His world. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, but we are not, the thing is that our patterns of reasoning, our way of thinking, and now all those things has been molded a certain way. So, but it's little by little, the Holy Ghost has to work in our hearts to what? Reculture us and recalibrate us so that we can begin to receive the testimony. Amen.
Amen.
Those who have the testimony are worshippers. Nobody is a worshipper that doesn't have the testimony. Your name can be, I am a worshipper, James. That's my name. Praise God. But your worship is your testimony. Is that how much of that life, which should be your life, how much of that life have you trapped, have you gained access to?
Yeah.
If you don't have that life, doesn't matter what you do, you are not a worshipper.
Mm.
Praise God. Now, 5 minutes. 5 minutes, I promise you. Revelation 22. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Remember, he said that testimony which God gave unto Jesus Christ to show his servants. And the method through which he showed them is he sent it as inquired by his angel, right, to his servant John. So it is an angel that was taking him through all these revelations. Amen. Now, that angel, if that angel is if taking it through the angel, it means the angel can carry it.
Yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
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 But the angel having custody of that thing makes the angel actually a prophet. Anyone who carries the testimony is a prophet. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because he is a prophet. What the angel is carrying is carrying a life that is to come. He's carrying a word that is to, he's carrying a reality that is to come. So if he's carrying, he's bringing it to John. Right, he's become a prophet. He wants to bring John into that which is to come. So he's a prophet. So prophecy is really his life. To be a prophet is, what life are you living? Amen.
Amen.
Angel, there's that prophecy in the angelic order. In their order, their prophecy is what they are carrying, because they are made to minister for us. Praise the Lord. And that what they are ministering to us is the life, amen, of the testimony or the life of God. Let's see quickly. Revelation 22, it says, let's read verse 6. It says, and he said unto me, this was the angel speaking to John, said unto me, these sayings are faithful and what? And true. And this was the angel that was bringing the word to John, right? So, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must what? Shortly be. Who should do them? Do you understand? Right? It said that if he came to show to his servants things which should be done. So who would do them? Is the servants. He's pretty much coming to tell the servants what they should do. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So it says these sayings are faithful and true. Means they won't change. The servant can throw his Bible away and go away and say, I'm not interested. But these sayings are what? Means that whether you like it or not, you can be there or not, somebody will do them.
Yes, sir.
And the fulfillment of these things is what will wrap up the age. Mm. And that's what God is looking for, a generation of people who are interested in the testimony. Mm. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So he came to what? Show his servants. The God of the holy prophet sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of what? The prophecy of this book. And I just saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship. Are you seeing that? It means what the angel was actually showing me, what did he provoke in me?
Worship.
That's the nature of the testimony. It means that as I'm hearing them, I fell down to what I made. He made a mistake. You understand? Because this angel, know the nature of this angel, how he will come and begin to talk. It seems as if it's Jesus. In chapter 1, it was as if it was Jesus that appeared. It was actually the angel that looked like Jesus and sounded like Jesus. Amen. But what to note here is that what the angel was saying were actually things. So what the servant should do. You know, John was a servant.
Yes, sir.
Chapter 1, remember? It says, which God showed unto him to give his servants things which was shortly take place, and then signed it and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So John is the first servant who received the revelation, and he received it for other servants who will come and access service through that revelation of John. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So as soon as he received this thing, he said, I fell what? Amen. And when I heard this and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. And then he said unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant. Because I am carrying the testimony too. It means I have my own service that I'm doing. Amen. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. What? Worship God. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm of thy fellow servant and thy brethren the prophet. You see, those fellow servants are what? Your brethren the prophets. They are the same. Are you seeing? I am your fellow servants of your brethren the prophet. I mean, the prophets are servants. And of what? Of them which keep the sayings of the book. So what makes you a servant is you to what? To keep means that's what you are doing. You are keeping the sayings of the book. What keeping the sayings of the book makes you a prophet. It also makes you what? A servant. And to be a servant is what? A worshipper. They now said what? Worship God. Read verse 10. And said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. For what? The time is at hand. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. It means let him continue being unjust if he likes. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. That is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man as his work shall be. You see that they are now tying that worship to works. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Do you see that nature? You might wonder, this is me now. Why would you say? Why won't you say that he's unrighteous? Let him stop being unrighteous and be holy. Why you say let him be unrighteous still? Isn't that being mean? Those who are filthy, why do you say they should be filthy still? Shouldn't you be preaching, begging them? Don't be filthy anymore. Come and stop your filthiness. They're telling that this thing is because of that nature. He says it's faithful and true. Do you get what I'm saying? In the time of the end, this is not begging now. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Once this thing, this season comes over men, it's easy for people to overlook it and go and do their own thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Anybody who cites mercy to see, do you know that in this whole world now, there are not many people who are seeing, having an idea, what is God even thinking about? What's God's, a lot of people wake up in the morning and think about what is God's will for humanity at this moment. How many people stop and think of that? We are just living and just living. But if there's an emphasis in your time, an emphasis, and you are finding mercy to come into a season where God is speaking, say, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Each person will have their own time of visitation. Some people will ignore it. Some people will take it. Some people will look at other people and well, they are doing their own thing now. Why should I be the one thinking about testimony, prophecy, and all these things? Why can't I just be like everybody else? It seems like you don't know your time of visitation might be different from their own.
Yes,
yes. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So he said, he that is, if you feel like life is okay, let's live life how we want, then okay, no problem. We are not fighting you. Because this is a holy thing. This is not something that they cajole people into. You are talking of people who will come into fulfillment of God's righteous standard for man. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 So I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as what?
His work.
According as his work shall be. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
We'll continue some other time. I'm trusting that God will help us.
Amen.
I don't know, sometimes these things can feel like they are hard sayings. I mean, the way it's hard. I need to think about how hard it is to preach them. But if I'm seeing them, I have to be faithful. Praise God.
Amen.
And I pray God will give us grace for faithfulness.
Amen.
You know, the same way it was hard for people in Jesus' day when he was in the flesh to receive him, right? That's the same way it is difficult in the spirit when Jesus is coming in the spirit. You understand? But I'm praying that God will give us grace.
Amen.
To heed to him and strength. Let's just thank God for his word today. Thank you, Father. We worship your name. Meshete steprefenesi, pario steprahad, yarabo shaprahadabasa kaprata. Let's ask for help to come into worship within us. Let's ask that we begin to come into an inward revelation of worship. That this light, the testimony will begin to shine towards us. And as the light comes, we will not go into condemnation. That we won't love darkness rather than light. That we will yield to the mercy of God, the grace of God, because there's also so much grace being made available. Because Christ, the Bible says, he's full of grace and truth. That the Lord will help us, that as there is grace being released in this time to come into fulfillment of purpose and prophecy, that we'll find help spiritually, that God will help us. God will help us. Let's pray that we won't grow weary as that word came this morning, that we won't grow weary, that we will be strengthened within us, that we will have, we'll be able to muster desire, hunger, appetite, even more for that which is to come, for what God is bringing to us. Say, Lord, help me personally. Help me. I will not fall short. I will find grace. I will access mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you this morning. We give you praise. We worship you. Father, thank you for your mercy, your loving kindness, tender mercies that are in operation right now, helping us and opening these things up. Father, we ask, O God, for more of your divine strength and ability within us to even increase in appetite, in hunger, Lord, for fulfillment of our calling and our purpose, which is coming into true worship. Father, we ask you will make worshippers out of us.
Amen.
We will worship you and please you
Amen.
To the end.
Amen.
Lord, we pray, O God, that you will cause this testament, this testimony, this word, testimony of Jesus, to begin to come to us, that this light will increase within our hearts. Our sighting, our seeing of this life will increase, Father. Father, we ask that you will help us. We have no help. We are helpless without you. And we are under no illusion that we have any kind of strength to even stay on this course. And Father, we yield ourselves to you, O God. And Father, we pray and intercede, O Lord, for the nations of the earth. And even for your church, Father, we are praying, O God, may this light spread the understanding, O God, that you've called us into worship. And you've called every congregation to be a temple of worship. Father, may this spread, O God, among us. Father, we thank you and give you glory. We worship you, O God. Father, we ask, O God, that if there's any way that we are not in alignment, let mercy overshadow us.
Amen.
And let your mercy speak for us.
Amen.
We will begin to find access into more help from above.
Amen.
Father, thank you, Jesus. Father, we open our heart to more of your ministry, the ministry of your angels, the ministering spirit who are ministers for us, who will be heads of salvation. We pray that because you sent it and signified it by your angel to your servant John, we ask, O God, even that ministry that signified this word, may that ministry be available to us
Amen.
As we press into it
Amen.
And we desire for more.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
We give you glory. May this word not just be information, may it be revelation.
Amen.
And may it come with impartation of grace,
Amen.
O God, for obedience to you. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Between the cherubim shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim. Shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim. Shine forth.